Hey, what's up, guys? Travis here. And if you've been following me or my story for any length of time, you know that I started a company called Guestio about a year and a half ago now. And one of the things that we are doing this year in 2022 is we're building a concierge program called the Fast Pass that allows you to get booked on top quality shows and platforms for the purpose of spreading awareness for your brand, grabbing attention, growing your credibility, your authority, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you are listening to this right now and you are a seven-figure plus entrepreneur and you have a budget to bring in traffic, attention, credibility, authority to your brand, then this might be a really great program for you. Just head over to travischappell.com/10K. Why 10K? Because we guarantee in this program that you're going to be able to speak in front of 10,000 people within 90 days. Okay, 10,000 people within 90 days. Imagine getting on a stage in front of 10,000 people to share your message, your story. Well, that's exactly what we are doing inside of this program through virtual stages like podcasts or virtual events or YouTube channels or blogs. You name it, we are working with it and we are trying to get you booked on those platforms. So travischappell.com/10x. There's a quick application there. And then right at the end of that application, it'll prompt you to set up a phone call where you'll jump on a call with me and we'll talk through whether or not you're a great fit for this program. Please act fast on this. Do not wait because we are only taking on one or two clients a week due to constraints with our team and the limited supply of high quality shows and platforms that are out there in the market. So if that's you and you're really wanting to explode your brand in 2022, head over to travischappell.com/10K, fill out the application, schedule a quick phone call, and you and I will chat really soon about whether or not this would be a great fit for you. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
If you're tired of the old way of networking, the business cards, the awkward conversations, and the aggressive pitches, but you know how crucial your network is to your success in life, then you're in the right place. Welcome to Build Your Network, the only top-rated show committed to helping you master content networking, foster real relationships, increase your authority, and build the network of your dreams. Listen in on conversations with world-class entrepreneurs, authors, thought leaders, and more as we deconstruct their best strategies for your success. So get ready to burn your business cards, ditch the name tag, and discover the new way to network with your host, Travis Chappell.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another BYN Breakdown episode. My name's Eric. I'm Travis Chappell's producer. And across from me is the one and only Travis Chappell with $14 million in sales under his belt. He's been featured in Forbes magazine, top 10 podcaster.
On the cover.
And ping him to help moderate one of your clubhouse rooms. So Travis, take it away.
Yeah, I just want to talk about me and how awesome I am for the next 2-3 minutes here.
Wait a minute. Is this a podcast or are we in a clubhouse room?
Oh, sorry. My bad. Okay, we're on a podcast, so we're probably not going to waste your time and talk about how awesome we are for the first 3 minutes. But this episode is all about Clubhouse and kind of pros, cons, what our initial thoughts are on spending the last week or two just kind of poking around on the platform and moderating a couple rooms and just jumping in on the conversation. So there's a lot of people on there that are only preaching the positives about Clubhouse right now. And obviously that makes sense for a lot of those people because for some of them, you know, it's the only really real social media platform that they've gotten actual traction on, you know what I mean? So and I'm not saying that even as a bad thing. Like, yeah. I understand wanting to continue to promote it and hoping that it continues to move forward because you're getting traction on it. Also think that it might blind you to some of the really bad things about the platform.
Well, I think that's important to say up front because there's probably, we're a minute and 50 seconds in and there's probably already somebody that's going like, screw this. Like, we're just gonna, but there are good things about Clubhouse. And yes, I think we both definitely had things where like, okay, that's really cool. Or I connected with this person through it. So there are good things about Clubhouse and there are people who they were early adopters of it and they've blown up and like, good for them. But also, like you said, they're blind to a lot of the issues that come along with Clubhouse. And a lot of it just comes down to how you use it, right? Like, any tool can be good if you're using it the right way.
So let's talk pros then first. Give it a nice shout out. And I'm sure the founders are pretty happy about things right now. I think they just raised at $1 billion valuation recently. So they're doing extremely well. They've been running all of this with 9 employees, which is pretty crazy to have an app that's been growing like wildfire the way that it's been growing. They've handled it well and done a good job with it. I don't have anything bad to say about that. In terms of the pros. I think easily the number one thing is there's a surprisingly high level of quality people in there.
Like a shocking.
Yeah, right. Like, well, you and I were in a room last night and Katie Couric and Paris Hilton were on the moderator panel and there was what, like 400 people in the room, like 350. That's a pretty small group for those types of names. Like you wouldn't be able to have that kind of direct access to people outside of an app like that. And then I was looking at another room last night. It had like close to 2,000 people in it. So it was a pretty big room, but it was, you know, Tom Bilyeu and Jim Quick and Jenna Kutcher and Brendan Burchard and just a crazy panel of really high level people that don't normally get together like that. And they're just chilling in there live for a couple of hours, answering random audience questions and stuff like that. So I do think access to higher level people is a huge mark in the pro column because it's just much more difficult to try to get a hold of those people. Like there's so many people that have booked Grant Cardone for interviews on their podcasts and stuff just by asking him a quick question on Clubhouse. And then they have that 30-second interaction with him that leads him to be like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll go on your podcast. And he did like 12 interviews in a day, I think I saw one time from people who had reached out to him just on Clubhouse.
Yeah.
So I think proximity and access to high quality people is definitely there because a lot of those people, you know, recognize trends and they're there to build their audience and further their attention and their growth, which they should be. But that, you know, leaves an advantage for the audience because you can listen in on some of those conversations. So that's a big pro. Another pro is that it's easy to grow right now. It's, you know, one of those, anytime there's, you're early on a social media platform and you really jump on it, you have an opportunity to grow alongside the platform. Like every time you see a new social platform take off, there's a whole almost class or group of influencers that are made from that platform that didn't have any following before, but then blew up on that platform and now are really famous, even if that platform went away. Right. Look at somebody like Amanda Cerny, who largely became really well known on Vine, and then Vine disappeared. But now she's got, you know, I don't know, 40 million Instagram followers or something like that. So she made her name on Vine, and then now she's still a mega influencer in that space. And then you look at all the people that TikTok has made extremely famous, and the things that they have going on now. So I think, you know, Clubhouse kind of gives you that same ability to do that. We might be on the back end of that train in terms of being ultra famous really quickly, just because of being at the right place at the right time. Cause the app's been around for almost a year now, I want to say. And I think it really started picking up speed, October, November, December timeframe. So I was a little late to the party and getting in like mid January. But that's not to say that you can't still go get a ton of followers on it. You know, like I've spent, you know, maybe 4 or 5 days in there, like a fair amount of the day and just trying to get in on conversations and things like that. And my follower count got up to like 2,500 or something, like real, like pretty quickly, you know what I mean? So you can gather an organic following like pretty quickly. I think that's another pro. Another thing that I think is cool is because it's that way, because it's built for people to like grow their audiences, you have a little bit better of a chance of setting up a really powerful room with people who, you know, normally aren't going to take the time to come to your event or take the time to speak at your summit or whatever. But you can put together a Clubhouse room, you know, and like the other day I had a good amount of like really awesome people that jumped into the room, like with Molly Bloom and John Lee Dumas and Jen Gottlieb and a few of the other people that are on Clubhouse. So you know, you can put rooms together like that and it keeps you kind of top of mind with higher level people that are in your network that are also trying to grow on the platform. So I think that there's a pro there. So the networking that you can do is really good. You know, I've had some great DM conversations with people that I would have not met if it weren't for us moderating a room together in Clubhouse, you know, so some of those things are really good. The engagement's really high quality. A lot of the times, you know, like after I moderate a room, I'll come into my Instagram account and there's a couple dozen DMs. Yeah. So it's, you know, been good for Instagram engagement and getting people into my DMs on Instagram and having conversations with them there about all the things that I do. So it's been pretty solid for, you know, lead gen and things like that. But yeah, those are probably the big pros for me. What, you got anything that you can add to that?
I mean, yeah, you hit most of them. I mean, it's really, and some of them are kind of two sides of a coin, right? So there's like some that are also cons, which I want to get into to one of them specifically. But yeah, I mean, pros, yeah, just the level of accessibility to people is always cool. I mean, that's what I like about social media in general, but Clubhouse is just neat that you can, it's like an event. You can grab a microphone and ask a direct question to somebody. Yeah. Like it fixes one of the problems that podcasting does have, which is sometimes I get into a spot where I'm driving. We've all been there where they'll say like, oh, what's the name of that one thing? Or man, is anyone actually seeing success on this platform or something? And you can raise your hand and literally be like, oh yeah, I did this, this, and this. Like yeah. it lets you kind of have that two-way conversation. Yeah, again, it's great to grow a following. And honestly, I haven't utilized it the way that I should. I've just kind of jumped into rooms and just tried to find rooms with good people and listen to what they have to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think kind of going into the negatives, I think you kind of hit on the idea, like it's really easy to kind of rocket ahead in there, and that it's, you can grow a following and you can do those things. But like, I've been sitting there kind of going to what end on some of it? You know what I mean? Like because I've seen a lot of people that I know who are like entrepreneurs or business owners or whatever in that space. I think that's most people on there would probably identify as that. But then they're kind of setting aside everything else to rush to this new thing. It's kind of like the shiny object syndrome thing. It's like, 100%. It's like, hey, let's jump on Clubhouse. Cause I'll see people, it's the same thing as like when I'll turn on my Xbox to go to Netflix or something at the end of the night. And I'll be like, so-and-so's been on there like all day. You know, it's like Clubhouse. Yeah, right. I'll be like all day long, I'll get notifications. So-and-so's in this room, which is fine. But I'm like, is the amount of value you're getting from that time worth what you're sacrificing to be there?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So to summarize the big con that you're saying is that it is an absolute time suck.
Yeah.
Like it wastes time like nobody's and business.
And again, if you don't use it the right way.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, but that's, you know, I think probably part of the growing pains, hopefully anyway. I think it'll really depend on how people continue to moderate better and things that, you know, I think this is the success of the platform will depend on moderators doing a better job of not wasting people's time. Cause that's the biggest thing. One of the biggest things that Jordan Harbinger ever taught me was every minute of the listener's time is earned.
Yeah.
And that's why I have done almost zero consumption on Clubhouse. Like I've done almost zero consumption. Like I even when I see a room with a bunch of high level people, I'll click into it. But for I sit there listening in for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And most of the time there's not any real value that's being given because they're just doing the regular Clubhouse stuff. Or you get somebody up onto the stage who's asking a question, but really they're just trying to pitch, you know, their idea or, you know, trying to get that person to come on their podcast or promote their offer or something like that. You know, so you have, and then all people just start bragging about themselves for 3 minutes and everybody's like, oh, let's go back. Let's go down and have all the moderators introduce themselves. And it's like, there's 37 freaking moderators in here. It's going to take an hour just to get through introductions, you know, and that's just not respectful of people's time. It's not respectful of my time. Like I've been in rooms where I'm a moderator. And I just left before it was my turn to introduce myself. Cause I sat there for 35 minutes. I'm sitting in my kid's room, like trying to put my kids to bed and spend some time with them before I put them to bed. But I'm in this stupid room cause I have to introduce myself cause I'm a moderator. And it was just like, why am I even here right now? So I just left the room so I could spend some time with my kids and put them to bed. Cause that's obviously way more important to me. So it's such a time suck and it's a gamble. Is what it is. Like, that's the big thing. It's a gamble on your time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm going to go invest 2 hours in this platform, cross my fingers, hope I get something back. Hope I get something out of it. You know what I mean? And the only real way to guarantee that you do is to start your own rooms and start moderating your own rooms, because that's how, you know, it becomes a needle mover for you. But then a lot of times what happens is that a lot of people figure that out. So they go do their own rooms and have these moderators jump in. And then all of a sudden it's a bunch of people who shouldn't be talking that much that are talking all the time. You know what I mean? Like what you mentioned is that, you know, podcasts are for listening, Clubhouse is for talking. And that is definitely the case because there's a lot of people in there who are in the early part of their journey that mostly should just be listening and shouldn't be talking, but you put them in a clubhouse room and give them a little moderator thing. And now all of a sudden they know everything about everything.
Right.
And then now you're not even just getting neutral advice or listening in on a conversation, but you're actually getting bad advice from people who shouldn't be giving any advice. Right. Yeah. So,
and that's where my biggest thing was. And I told you, I think I texted you like when we were in a room together, and I texted you and said like, you could do like bad networking 101. Like, and it really is, it's like going to a cocktail mixer and like mm-hmm. people just, when they get a chance to ask a question, and this is one of the things I really hit on a lot, is like people are going to just add value to themselves. So mm-hmm. they want to be impressive enough in that 30 seconds where people follow them exactly. on Instagram. But then it's like, by the time they get to their point, there's no value there. So like people get up, we talked about this before we even started recording, is like, yo, you may recognize me. I joked about at the beginning, like you may recognize me. I was in Forbes top 10, this, I was doing this, I've sold this much money. And it's like, okay, but like, what's your question? Like, we'll get to that, but like, let's see if there's some value up front, right. You know, like lead with value is the kind of obvious statement there.
Yeah. And a lot of times what happens, the audience is just trying to get attention or eyeballs on their stuff. And so they'll jump in as a speaker to ask a question, but they don't actually have a question. So they'll just talk for 3 minutes giving context. Really though, it's just quote unquote bragging on themselves. You know what I mean? Cause well, you need some context. So here's everything I've accomplished in my life. Here's how amazing I am. And then at the end of it, they're like, okay, so what's your question? And it's like, oh, I didn't really have a question. Just want to see how I could add value. You know,
or I just wanted to say hi.
Yeah. Right. That's like, yeah. So it's a lot of people don't listen to what the moderators are there for, you know? So I think there's definitely some kinks to be worked out, but you know, I was talking about this with somebody yesterday. Cause I was just like, I was initially saying, you know, if they can't figure out how to make it better content, then I think that people are going to get burnt out on it really quickly. But at the same time, man, we live in a consumer culture. Mm-hmm. Not everybody thinks the way that you and I are talking right now. You know, for me, it just wasn't worth it. It hasn't been worth spending a ton of time in there, because in order to be able to use it effectively, you have to spend a ton of time in there. Like you got to be in there 6 hours a day, like minimum, to be able to really build up an audience, at least 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, and like right now I have so many other things going on and I have a family. And I try to leave room for personal life things and ways to unplug and stuff. And it's just like that. What I found myself having anxiety about it. Like I did it for like 4 days, like pretty hardcore, like always checking it, trying to jump in rooms, like trying to moderate and all these things. And I found myself being so anxious all the time because it was always on in the background. And so I was just kind of like, well, if I don't have anything to add to the conversation, then I'll just kind of like leave it there. But then I'm worried somebody's going to call my name. So I'd still have to kind of be listening. So I'm not totally focused on the thing that I'm trying to do, but I still got to do the thing that I'm doing because I got to get other stuff done. I can't just sit on Clubhouse for 4 hours and do absolutely nothing else that's on my calendar.
You can, you know, Travis, what I mean? You can do it.
It's just crazy. So I feel like I would encourage people to be suspect about people who spend 12 hours a day in Clubhouse but claim to be this big person. Now, there's obviously a caveat to that, because people who are at a certain level obviously automated their entire business. Like you have someone like Grant in there, Grant Cardone, who spends, I don't know, probably about that 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day or something in Clubhouse. But that's his job right now, is just to continue to build his brand and bring attention and influence into the things that he has. Like he has a team that runs everything for him. He makes money from his team. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like somebody like that is like, okay, well, I just need to prioritize this app for the next, you know, 3 to 6 months while it's really building, because it'll probably be a huge return on my time that's invested into it if it ends up taking off. So someone like that, it makes sense. But we have some of these other people that claim that they're making X amount of dollars and that they do these things or whatever. But, you know, it's like, are you though? Cause how is it possible that you can just neglect everything in your business for 30 days in a row and spend 6 hours a day just bullshitting on Clubhouse?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what do you not have any to-dos on your list? Are you not like getting anything done? Like, is that your, I don't understand. A lot of that kind of stuff. But to be fair, you know, if I were less busy, I would spend a ton of time in there too. You know, if this was like 2 years ago when I was just starting my podcast and I figured out that this is a great way to build my audience, I'd be spending 6 hours a day in there myself.
And that kind of is the...
Sorry to interrupt you. But I shouldn't be at that time. Does that make sense? So like when I did have a ton of time to do it, I shouldn't have been giving a lot of advice, because I was at the beginning stages of my business. You know what I mean? But it wouldn't have been worth my time to sit there and just listen to rooms, because if I want to get value, a podcast is easily a better way to do that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's Exactly. Condensed. It's, you know what to expect. I can listen on a 1.5x or a 2x speed and get double the amount of content and value in a smaller period of time with hosts that I know are going to deliver value in whatever episode that they're putting out. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's way less of a gamble, and I'm way more interested in listening to podcasts than I am on just turning on Clubhouse and going for a 3-hour drive to LA. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of where I think the future side with Clubhouse, because in your group with John Lee Dumas, like, there was a lot of people who were asking, like, is it going to affect podcasting, or is it going to, and I was sitting there and like, I mean, I don't know, I do know your thoughts on it, but like my thoughts are like, the information is so much more concentrated in a podcast. The groups that work really well on Clubhouse, I feel like, kind of run like a podcast. And I think the way it's going to affect podcasting is, like, I think there's some guests that are going to say no to a podcast right now that'll say yes to doing a Clubhouse. Like, I have a couple people that I want to get on my show where I'm going to switch my ask to, do you want to record a live podcast in Clubhouse? Like, and see if that works. But also, like, just thinking toward the future, I think the biggest issue, like, bar none, is just all the groups are, it's kind of like we talk about blue oceans and niches, and it's like, the groups are all very vague. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's going to be like John Lee Dumas said, was like, it's going to have to be smaller, extremely niche groups of like 15, 20 people.
Micro rooms.
Because the quantity doesn't equal quality kind of thing is true. Like, mm-hmm. when there's 500 people and you're trying to get through questions, like, it's not as valuable. It's like going to a mastermind event versus going to a conference. Like, if you can sit and talk to a speaker one-on-one a few times, instead of waiting with a microphone in front of in a room of 2,000 people, like, both of those things have their place and value, but I just don't, like, Clubhouse is going to have to evolve a little bit, and like how people use it. Like, I think some people will have to burn out, and then it be those people that hang in there for, you know, a few more months. But
yeah, I definitely got burnt out on it, man. There was one night I was supposed to go to dinner with some friends of mine, and my wife had a work dinner. So she went to that, and then I was going to go meet them, and then she was going to come meet us after she was done. So I'm about to go in the restaurant, but I get into this, I was in this Clubhouse room, and a buddy of mine was co-moderating, and Ty Lopez was in a room, and he was basically looking for companies to invest in, because that's one of the things that they do now, him and his business partner, Alex. And so I literally sat there because I was supposed to go next. I was supposed to speak next. I sat there for an hour in my car. It made me about an hour late to dinner, but I felt like it was a good opportunity because I was like, I have the ability to pitch, you know, Ty on this app that I'm raising money for right now. You know what I mean? And so, most of the people that were pitching were horrible pitches, and they were just kind of like, yeah, I want $5,000 so that I can, like, spend money on Facebook ads, you know, and it's like, to what, you know, they didn't have any clear business, you know what I mean? So I had like a legit business with actual capital that we've raised. You know, I had the investment vehicle already worked out. Like, it was, like, I had a real pitch, you know? So, and I figured this is the first time that he ever tried to do it. So I was in there as a speaker the whole time. And I was about to go up the whole time, but like we keep saying, it's just so easy to waste time. So the guy that went before me ended up taking almost 45 minutes to pitch, because Ty and Alex were asking questions or whatever. And then Ty just like would go off on random, like, anecdotal stories and little nuggets of wisdom and stuff, which, like, they were good, but it's just like, it made me an hour late to dinner when I was sitting in the parking lot the whole time. I actually showed up early. You know what I mean? And I got in there. I was just like, did I just sacrifice an hour of time with in-person friends to like build real relationships for sitting in a Clubhouse room for an hour because I felt like I was chained to the opportunity of potentially pitching something? And like after that, I was just kind of like, I just got real burnt out on it, man. I was just like, it seems like I'm always waiting. Like, I'm in Clubhouse and it's just a waiting game. Like, I'm waiting to find a room. I'm waiting to be brought up as a speaker or moderator. I'm waiting till there's value. I'm waiting in a conversation to hear something good or valuable. Like, it just is such a time suck and such a big, massive waste of time, unless you're somebody that's in there that is a moderator all the time and you're just bringing in a ton of leads and bringing in a ton of attention and listeners to the things that you have going on, you know, because I know some people who are doing it, crushing it over there. They have 25, 30,000 followers. And for them, it makes sense because they're, you know, businesses are largely, like I said, automated, and they have teams of people that are running them for them. So for them, they've makes sense. They've
earned the right to step out.
Exactly.
Right?
And those are the people that should listen, that you should listen to. You know what I mean? But there's, for every person that you should listen to on Clubhouse, there's at least five that you shouldn't be listening to.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know the difference, because when you see somebody have a big follower account, you automatically, you know, attribute a certain amount of trust to them. But on Clubhouse, that shouldn't be the case, because right now it's too new. So some of these people, like, they have 23,000 followers just because, like,
they were the first,
they've been there since like June. You know, so they got recommended to a bunch of people and they started growing their organic following. And then they were like, oh, I'm the moderator on Clubhouse, you know? And it's like, wait, so your claim to fame is just the fact that you used this app before other people did? You know what I mean? Like, what, why are you giving advice to all these business owners? Like, some of the business owners in the crowd are way, you know what I mean? Like, they're beyond the people that are moderating the room, but just because the person is a moderator, because they have 18,000 followers, you know what I mean? It's just, there's so much like politics that's already happening in there. I told Jackie, I was like, this is kind of like a, it's kind of like a live reality television show, but like on the radio. It's like a live radio reality show. You know what I mean? Cause you know, people have beefs with each other in the rooms, but because it's such a collaborative platform, and you want people in your rooms moderating, because it shows their followers that they're in your room, and then more people are likely to come in, right? Like, because it's that way, you're kind of almost chained to work with a bunch of people that you may not typically work with. And it kind of provides this reality TV show type of a experience. And so that's what I'm saying is, like, it's hard for me to say it's not going to work, because there's so many things that I thought weren't going to work. You know what I mean? And there's so many things, like, well, you look at something like,
it's got potential to be, you know,
amazing, massive. Yeah. You look at something like Quibi, right? That, the little video streaming app that came out, it got, I don't know, like $200 million in funding, and they ran out of money. You know, like, it just never took off. And those were extremely high quality content clips, you know, like 10, 15 minute fully produced videos with like A-list celebrities and actors and actresses, like crazy production value, super, super high quality content. And it just never did anything. It never went anywhere, and it's gone already. You know what I mean? Like, came and went in like less than a year. But you have something like Clubhouse, where it's the opposite in terms of a value proposition, in terms of the quality of the content, but it's taken off. You know what I mean? So I think the majority of people are consumers, and it makes you feel better when you're consuming that content. It makes you feel like you're doing stuff when you don't know what else to do. You know, so a lot of people are just going to leave it on for 6 hours a day and be like, oh, I'm working because I'm in Clubhouse. And it's like, why don't you try actually working? Well, you know, like, I'll be interested. Sorry to keep cutting you off. Yeah. I'll be interested to hear more about what Gary Vaynerchuk thinks about it. I know he's written a couple things on it, but I don't see him active in there, which is, you know, the opposite of who he is and what he's done with other platforms in the past. So I'm curious to hear his perspective on it, because I would bet that it's something around along those lines, where he's like, most of you guys that are in here for 8 hours a day should be out doing stuff for 8 hours a day, like taking action and selling people and like building your business, not sitting in Clubhouse. You know what I mean? So I think there's going to be a kind of an inflection point, and we'll see what ends up happening with it.
Yeah. I was in a Clubhouse room about, it was like how to write your first book 101 or something, which I like, that's something that's been circling on my head. And literally I was like 45 minutes, and I was like, I could have wrote out my first crappy chapter and started like editing it and narrowing it. Like, I could have just started,
right?
You know, like, I could have, in the time it took for people to be like, well, actually what I was published here or this and that. But yeah, I think this is all relevant. I'm curious to know what everyone else's thoughts are on Clubhouse. So definitely DM Travis all of your thoughts about his polarizing opinions on this. Travis, where on, what's your username on Clubhouse? People can follow you.
Yeah. It's at Travis Chapel. And, you know, we will run some rooms in there. Like, yeah. I'm not talking crap on the platform as a whole. I think that there's still some really good things on it, and I will definitely be involved in the future. It's just like, you know, maybe once or twice a week.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of, I think there's just a ceiling. I had to put a hard limit on it, man. Cause it was diving a lot into my family time, you know, cause I'm working throughout the day, and then after dinner it's family time. But instead of having family time after dinner, I was sitting in Clubhouse, you know? So like, I was having family time while listening in on Clubhouse, which isn't like, you have to give focused attention to the people in your life, you know? And I think that's much more valuable use of your time. And like I said, if I had a bunch of free time during the day, during the workday, I would be jumping into Clubhouse too. And if my businesses were running on autopilot, you know, without me doing anything for them, then I'd probably be spending a lot of time in Clubhouse as well. But that's not the point that I'm at. And I think that it's a much more productive use of my time to actually be working on my businesses throughout the day rather than just like being a part of a 4-hour Q&A session on Clubhouse. So.
Well, cool. Well, thanks guys for tuning in to this BYN breakdown episode. Be sure to connect with Travis over on Clubhouse. And definitely if you like this episode, be sure to take a screenshot and tag Travis on Instagram with the handle at Travis Chapel. Catch you in the next episode.
That's it for this episode. If you want to connect with Travis and other like-minded people who also listen to the show, then you're going to want to head over to travischapel.com/group to join his free Facebook group, Podcast to Profit. Travis will see you there. And remember to leave every relationship better than you found it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.